Notes from the Electronic Cottage. I'm Jim Campbell. Every spring, the editors of Technology Review, a magazine from MIT, list what they consider to be 10 important emerging technologies. Technologies that the editors feel are ready to emerge from laboratories over the next few years and become part of our technological landscape. Here's their latest list. Cellulolytic enzymes, reality mining, connectomics, offline web applications, graphene transistors, atomic magnometers, wireless power, nanoradio, probabilistic chips, and modeling surprise. Quite a mouthful. Some of those terms sound like they were coined by Arthur C. Clarke or Isaac Asimov in some science fiction story. And a few, like nanoradio, are close enough to things we already know something about to sound very intriguing. We don't have the time to review and ruminate on all of these technologies today, but we can ponder over a few that, if the magazine's editors are correct, could have pretty profound impacts on the way we live our lives in a few years. Let's start by seeing if we can wrap our heads around graphene transistors. To do that, we might begin by recalling Moore's Law. Back in 1965, Gordon Moore, one of the founders of Intel, observed that the number of transistors that can be placed on an integrated circuit doubles in a limited amount of time. Initially, he thought the period was a year, and later decided it was probably about 2 years. His observation has proved correct, and seems to be holding even now, over 50 years later. That's why the power of, for example, personal computers, seems to double about every 2 years, while prices actually decline for the same amount of computing power. But, as with all things physical, there is a fly in the ointment. To pack more power onto the same size chip, each transistor, not to mention the circuits that connect them, have to get smaller and smaller, and eventually will run up against some physical limit of smallness. In the case of silicon transistors, which is what so much of our electronic appliances are based on today, heat is also an issue. Silicon heats up. The more operations the chip performs in a given amount of time, the hotter it gets. And as all of us who don't like hot summers understand, when things get very hot, funny behavior often follows. So, against this backdrop, there's a good deal of excitement building about graphene transistors. Transistors, as you may recall, control the flow of current, and they are binary, which means that they only have two states, on or off, one or zero. Graphene is a substance we all use regularly, or at least we did in grade school. Graphene is a form of carbon, and it's found in the lead pencils that most of us used before we could be trusted with pens and ink. There are two exciting things about graphene when it comes to transistors. First, the substance, graphene, is one atom thick, and that is very small. And second, electrons moving through graphene encounter almost no resistance, and that means they generate almost no heat. Big news if you want to perform an incredibly high number of transistor operations per second. Scientists have already produced chips in the lab that include hundreds of graphene transistors. While the scientists still have more work to do to make graphene a really good substitute for silicon transistors, there's a lot of excitement among companies like Intel, IBM, and Hewlett-Packard. Why? Simply put, graphene transistors offer the promise of helping to extend Moore's Law for another 10 or 20 or even 30 years. And that would mean it will be possible to build computers that are almost unimaginably more powerful than what we know today. Let's look at another member of the list, wireless power. Most of us can relate to wireless communication like cell phones or Wi-Fi networks in small spaces, so the idea of wireless isn't too difficult to grasp. But wireless power? As in electrical power with no wires or plugs? That seems to be a bit of a futuristic stretch. Actually, however, it's a very old idea. Way back at the end of the 19th century, when electricity was new as a possible commercial product that could, for example, provide light, thanks to Edison's light bulb, Nikola Tesla could not imagine wires stretching from city to city across vast distances, so he came up with the idea of wireless transmission of electricity. His system never got built, but it was more for economic than for theoretical reasons, and now scientists are keen to see if they can figure out ways to, for example, charge small electronic devices without attaching them to anything, merely by having them come within the signal area of a wireless power source. Imagine, for example, never having to think about charging the battery in your cell phone, or MP3 player, or personal computer. If your device was within range of a wireless power station, it would all happen automatically. The same process could theoretically apply to anything that uses relatively small batteries, from flashlights to toys to alarm clocks to you name it. And of course, there are some pretty hefty military applications as well, which has caused the government to put some serious money into this research. Bottom line, there's a good chance that wireless power, at least for recharging batteries, will be part of our daily lives before long. And although considerably further in the future, there's a reasonable chance that batteries themselves may disappear altogether in personal computers and cell phones and the like if wireless power spreads across the country and eventually around the world. So, there we have it, a peek at a couple of what Technology Review identifies as important emerging technologies. If you'd like to take a look at the list for yourself, go to www.technologyreview.com/infotech/20249. That address, as well as all Electronic Cottage programs, is available anytime on the audio archives at www.weru.org. And if you'd like to keep on keeping up with technologies, emerging or established, that affect all of our lives, sometimes for the better, sometimes for the worse, keep on tuning in to future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.